This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths but have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You got mail.
Hi, I'm Lillian Tamaris.
And I'm Elise Morales.
And this is Go Touch Grass, the podcast where we log in.
So you can log off.
Elise and I are two chronically online comedians, and on this podcast, we break down the week in internet discourse, viral memes, TikTok trends, and niche influencer drama so that you can do literally anything else with your time.
Absolutely. And if you like what you hear today, we've already got a Go Touch Grass Patreon already running with test episodes, mini trending topics, a weekly newsletter, and our spin-off series, Search History, where we go back and break down a viral discourse from the past.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review. As many of you know, we hit over 100 reviews on Spotify and Apple recently. And in this week, in addition to our regular Patreon episode, we will release our Put a Pin in the Discourse video episode for free on the Patreon for everybody to watch.
So the
video is very fun.
Yeah.
We get into who's DJ Academics, who's Andrew Tate, Trisha Paytas, why movies are too long,
mm-hmm.
and much, much, much more.
Yes. We explain who many nefarious characters are, and also some other dumb and silly stuff.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
And speaking of dumb and silly stuff, on April 19th at 7:15 p.m., we will be doing our first ever Go Touch Grass live at Y'all Fest at Asylum here in New York City. We've got all the information up on our socials, ticket links, all of that stuff. We're going to keep posting about it, and we would love to see you there.
Speaking of places we want to see you there, just one more housekeeping thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to quickly shout out at The Things We Lost.
Yes.
She or they is holding it down in our Discord chat, generating conversation and keeping it fun.
Discoursing. On Discord.
She was like, hey, who are you? Do you want to nominate for Grasshole?
We love
and that. Yeah, so if you know things at Things We Lost, you're a pioneer and things will pop off soon. If you aren't on the Discord, head over there and start nominating your Grasshole of the Week. We might pick it, we might not, whatever, but it's just cool to have some conversation.
It's great
because right now it's just me and her.
Right now it's just me being like, who's everybody yelling at? It's great to have other people's input. I do have to use Discord for desktop because my phone is out of capacity. But
and don't get me started on iPhones because we already know antitrust laws, the predatory, they are being predatory to the American population.
Millie,
I know.
We have to get our guests in here.
I know.
But you know what? If you want to hear Millie talk about that, we do have an episode on our Patreon.
We do have an episode where it's just me standing on a soapbox.
Standing on the soapbox.
And standing on my purple text because you can customize text on Android, but continue.
Wow.
It's not green or blue over there.
Oh my God.
It's lilac, bitch.
All right, guys. We have two amazing guests today. We are so excited to have them here. This is enough housekeeping. We got to bring them in. We have hoes in this house.
There's some hoes in this house.
We are joined in the studio by two fashionable women who are also comedians, influencers, writers, and the hosts of the Hoes with Feelings podcast. It's Melissa Rich and Carolina Teresa.
Woo! Oh my God. Thank you.
Whoa. So exciting. You know, all of our guests are friends, but I feel particularly excited when we have like friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the best. It's truly the best. Even though Millie did almost bring us in on an Android rant.
I'm just going to keep moving past that.
It is your space. We're happy to be here in your space. We'll take it.
That was an Android rant. It's acknowledging what Elise said, what she said. She can't download Discord and communicate with our fans.
But why?
Because Apple wants me to get a new phone. They've decided. So now my phone is constantly, even though I...
Full.
Yeah,
it's
constantly full. And even if I delete stuff, it's still full.
But what number are you on?
Which one do I have?
Yeah.
Oh, God. It's old.
Okay.
It's not the right one.
Elise, if Apple wants you to get a new phone...
Steve Jobs comes to you and says, new phone time.
And it wasn't an Android rant. They're literally getting sued by the Department of Justice for doing that because that is a predatory practice.
It is predatory.
It is. Wait, what do you mean it's not? It's happening. It was announced. There was a press conference.
Oh my God, Millie, I'm just joking.
What's more predatory is changing the Chargers. Enough changing the Chargers.
Okay, this change, though, is good.
Why?
Because it's the same charger as the MacBook. It's the same charger
as Android.
As everybody. Okay. It's a universal. Right.
It's a correction.
So it's a correction.
They should have done it sooner.
Well,
how about that?
But they only did it because the EU sued them. This is what I'm saying, guys.
Okay.
Unplug. Yes. But listen,
Go touch grass, baby.
Speaking of going touching grassing and hoeing and feeling, why the name's Hoes with Feelings?
Yes.
That's a great question.
You know, it's so appropriate. It is the perfect description. And I have to give credit to Melissa's boyfriend, Frank, her partner, Frank. He actually came up with that idea, right?
So.
Because we wanted it to be about like mental health, self-help, just like connecting with people, because we are very emotional girls and we wanted the podcast to be about that. But we also wanted it to be reflective of like, you know, our energy, like the fun and like, you know, Hoes Feelings just made sense.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is that when we tell people the name Hoes Feelings, so many people are like, I'm a hoe with feelings. Yeah. Like people just get it.
You know what? I'll say it. I'm a hoe with feelings.
Yeah.
I think I'm a hoe with feelings.
It's
too.
A lifestyle.
You're a cancer. You're a hoe with feelings.
I was going to say, there's something too about hoes with feelings being Virgos.
I know.
There is two double Virgos. Two double Virgos.
Oh my God, are we twins today?
Oh my God.
Whoa, we just said two things in a row at the same time.
There's a twin thing going on.
I'm a Taurus.
I'm a Taurus moon, bitch. It's all coming together. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy.
Incredible. And on this day, everyone should know, we are recording on the day of the eclipse.
Yes.
So it's, you know, if you feel a kind of witchy energy, Carolina's anti-eclipse.
Which I didn't even hear about this until today when she texted me, I'm not watching it. It's bad luck. And I was like, oh, I've been so excited.
Mala suerte.
Yeah.
I don't negate the things about it being bad luck. It's just, I'm gonna invite the bad luck. Sometimes, you know, you gotta get.
You've been influenced.
Maybe it's like an amnesia thing where.
You've been influenced, you know, Millie.
You get hit in the head and you get amnesia, and the way you unget amnesia is you get hit in the head again. I'm hoping that I have a streak of bad luck.
That's science.
That's 90s sitcom science. Every time somebody has it for me.
First of all, you know we're in Mercury in retrograde right now, right?
Yes, Mercury has a.
Okay, we just had a little earthquakey.
Yeah.
Which occurred right after I said on the record on our podcast, which will be out next week, I never think about the apocalypse.
Which is crazy.
Never think about it.
Because I spend never crosses my mind. About the apocalypse. I've had so much time.
No, she thinks about it constantly. I never think about it. I spoke it aloud.
And I do. And so for me, it's a no thank you.
Okay. Well, me and Elise spend so much time online
that
we know the apocalypse is here. We just talked about last week. That white girl who raps with dreads in her hair. So we know it's coming.
For sure. Yeah.
There are white women.
There are signs.
I have not seen this.
Oh, she's talking about the pyramids and the aliens.
Yeah,
and
she has a rap. Well, I'll show it to you offline. But she basically raps about how we're all connected to the pyramids and how we used to use them to time travel. That's like what her.
And people do say that. That's not
she
new.
She said it.
People That's not say new. It, but.
You know what? Today's probably a really big day for her.
Today's
this is huge.
Shout out to Shannon.
But also, we should look at what she's doing for the eclipse.
Staring directly at the sun.
She said she cured a kidney infection with her mind. She is not who we need to be.
She sounds powerful.
I want to have her on a podcast. Oh, she sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. She probably is a hoe with feelings. She's definitely a hoe with feelings.
I mean, last week we had George Tavares, and he had such a different reaction to Shannon, and then you guys are like all in on Shannon.
It's so funny. It's kind of stuff we like.
It's the diversity that we like to bring.
Mm-hmm. Takes.
We love it. Well, anything else about the podcast? So you guys talk about mental health right before we get into our discourse. I mean, our mental health is bad.
Yeah, same.
No, we're not saying our mental health is good.
I think we should tell everyone that we are not professionals and we do not give good advice.
Well, you have a cheap therapy show.
We do have the cheap therapy show.
That's
all. And there, I think we actually are giving good advice.
And it's
usually
very therapeutic. The show is actually very funny and very therapeutic. We have a new segment we call Workshopping.
Ooh.
Oh, with the post.
Melissa, do it.
Not doing that.
Okay, it's a audio medium too. So,
that's true. Yeah. Sorry.
But there was a post.
Yeah. There was a post with that.
It's like a hip hop post. It's called Workshopping. And where we get ahead of it's new, Millie. You didn't see this, but ahead of time we have an issue that someone comes to us with. We bring them on stage and we workshop the issue with the audience. So the audience gets to ask questions. We get to kind of get through something. We talked about a breakup or a possible breakup that someone was going through. And we just kind of like had the audience asking questions. We go into the audience. We really come together as a community.
Yeah, okay. It's very communal.
How much are your tickets? Like $15, $20?
Yeah.
We, so like the first half of our tickets, it's so cheap. Cheaper
than a copay, I'll say.
And being able to ask questions is so important because I read a lot of advice columns and sometimes people are leaving out important information, context, stuff where it's like, you know, you finally get the detail and it's like, well, this changes everything.
It changes everything.
So it's important to be able to ask the question.
Yeah, that's a big thing about, you know, discourse that we cover is that like a lot of times you think you're on one side and then you hear an extra detail and you're like, babe, you're
wrong.
Wait
a minute. Yeah.
You hear white girl with dreads, then you hear what she's talking about. It's a narrative.
Still
it's
crazy.
He said, wait, hold on. She cured a kidney infection.
Let her finish.
Melissa's all in. We cannot let Melissa go to North Carolina.
Don't let me in there.
Yeah.
So let's talk on the subject of influencers. Let's get into our discourse.
Mm-hmm.
So our discourse, this is such a loaded, layered, heavy, I mean, not heavy, but nuanced topic. Mm-hmm. It's like a 7-layer dip. We're going to get into it, right? So this week, we're getting into the story of Raymonte.
Mm.
Do you know who Raymonte is?
Yes, I do.
I do not.
I think I know what this is about.
So Raymonte is a black gay influencer under the name BD Trey Lil Brother. And he has, let's do his follower count, 550,000.
Reading numbers is so hard.
Yeah, it's really
people
hard.
People don't talk about how hard it is to read
a
number.
Why is there a comma?
On the fly?
It's difficult. Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'll have to practice. I'll say, I'm going to practice reading this number.
Writing checks where you have to write out the number?
Oh my gosh.
I hate writing checks. I hate filling out the check.
Terrible. Anyway, okay. He has 550,000 followers on X, 96,000 followers on Facebook, 345,000 followers on Instagram, and a whopping 2.2 million followers on TikTok.
Oof.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
Huge.
He gets online and he shares his funny hot takes. And another genre that I'm pretty sure you might have seen is that he'll walk up to people he doesn't know publicly and aggressively compliment them, typically at a Target.
I've seen. Okay, now
you've
I
seen
do.
It. He'll mm-hmm. go up to a white girl and be like, girl, you look good. Whoa, you're
Which
so
Which is
pretty.
Honestly what every white girl walking around a Target is like waiting and hoping
for. Yeah.
Honestly, life.
A black gay guy coming up to you, it does, there's like ranked compliments.
It changes the trajectory of your day.
It does. For sure. Absolutely. Yep. If a little girl, old black woman, gay black man say, girl, you look great.
You're like,
wow.
I do look good.
Yeah. So it all started when he had a birthday trip with other black influencers, including Dre Brown, Malik McIntyre, and Davey Bad. I don't know these guys, but they're very, very huge on TikTok. They're Gen Z black influencers.
Mm-hmm.
The trip became a highlight of social media, and many Gen Zers treated it kind of like a reality TV episode, like episodes where like they were going through all of their... all of
the different
influencers, TikToks, and each group, each post grew in popularity. They went to Mexico, which does tie back later. And on Raymonte's Instagram, he posted 19 TikTok videos about the trip, which is a thing. Like, wow. Like,
you're saying it's too much?
19 videos, edited videos about your birthday trip.
That's his job.
I mean, that's his
job.
You're right.
Yeah. True.
And but that's why it is a job.
And that's why it is a job.
For me, I'm like, Influencing to make one TikTok, it's takes
a lot.
Me a
it's exhausting.
It
yeah.
takes,
it takes
time.
Me a day. But to do 19 on a vacation, it's a lot. And I mean, that's just his, because we're talking about he went with a whole bunch of people and everyone's posting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it amassed about a million like on average, 1 million views per video, with the highest video getting 3.4 million views. Okay.
Wow.
So Essence Magazine posted an article that was like a Raymonte's birthday trip, why influencer diversity is important. And the thesis of it was that there are a ton of young Black creatives out there with brand teams mostly being white. Brands may overlook the significance of collaborating with Black influencers or fail to appreciate the value they bring to their campaigns. And just making the point that we've always made, that is 100% true, that more opportunities go out to white influencers. If he was a white influencer without mm-hmm. following, and with the combined popularity of the entire group and the eyes on it, they would have had, you know, sponsors yeah. and all that stuff.
So they didn't get it, none of it was sponsored. This was just totally organic.
And he spoke about it. He made a video about it.
And he made, well, one step at a time. One step at a time, Jordan Sparks, baby. Okay. So that's the point that Essence Magazine made. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we'll go to the backlash. So they posted on X or Twitter, when something demonic happens, it's X.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then right. when it's like just us chatting, it's Twitter.
Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah. We're recouping the world word. Okay. So I said, so they tweeted the article link, and it said, following Raymonte's viral birthday trip, there's a larger conversation to be had surrounding the lack of brand opportunities for Black influencers. Raymonte replied, oh my God, Essence, thank you for the article, but this is kind of hypocritical. You all have invited numerous other influencers to events, but never me. It's the same thing with BET. I have a large following, and my supporters keep me afloat so I don't cry over spilled milk. I don't need a pity party or a deep dive into why I'm not, quote, marketable. Mm. Don't use me as the example when you contribute to the problem.
Mm. Wow. Ooh.
So, yeah. The article, I guess, was saying, like, because he presents himself in a different way or, like, whatever, and he's not, like, as polished, quote, unquote, that it might turn brands off. But it's saying, like, you need all kinds of Black people, not just the ones that are palatable to white people. Mm-hmm. And then that's what Raymonte wrote to them, replied to them. So then Essence replied this. It has always been Essence's, and this is a, whatever. It has always been Essence's mission to champion creatives, amplify Black voices, and ensure that we are diversifying spaces that are non-traditional occupied by us. Us meaning Black people. Our intention here was to introduce our audience to you as a brand and as an influencer. This trip placed you on our radar, and we believe that you are more than deserving, as the article stated. Super disappointed that this was the response to an angle of uplifting, learning more about you, and wanting brands to recognize what you bring to the table. Everything isn't for everyone, and we receive that moving forward. Wish you the best. Keep going. So then Raymonte replied to that, why are you disappointed at my response? You didn't showcase or highlight any of my content or positive moments. So what's being introduced? Talking about everything I'm not getting while also offering me nothing but well wishes and good luck? Girl, fuck you.
Oh, no.
I was really respectful.
No, I love Gen Z. I love Girl, Gen Z.
Fuck you.
Gen Z doesn't care.
Okay, oh, I was really respectful. I thought, they're acting like I did something to them. I'm never really getting invited. Well, I'm never getting invited now. Essence has since deleted the post of the story from X, as well as the response to Raymonte. But the article, as of, I think this morning, was still up on the media's outlet's website.
Okay, so they deleted the tweet of the article. So that basically makes, like, the whole thread kind of go away.
Yeah, and they deleted their response.
Yeah, I wonder what the thinking was behind the response. To say, like, we're disappointed in you, I feel like is not the right.
Well, it just made them, to me, they were proving the point of, like, the respectability politics. Basically, to me, that response was, you should be grateful we even wrote this article about you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And you should be grateful that we even mentioned your name. We didn't know about you before, and we were trying to do something nice. And I don't necessarily think like the whole idea of like the respectability politics and the idea of who, because I know who Raymonte is and I like him. He is not what gonna fall in line with any kind of respectability policies, and I don't think that he should have to. Mm-hmm. But if that's the case, then the consequences of who wants to work with you is the consequences of who wants to work with you, and that's valid. But on the other hand, I do think a better response from Essence would have been like, you're right, let's work together in the future. We just noticed 100%. You. We just found out about you. We didn't really know about you that much, and we wanted to write about you, but let's do something else.
Well, and I want to push back on that. Like, I hear what you're saying about the respectability politics mm-hmm. and everything, but when you said, like, Gen Z doesn't give a fuck, like, I'm just like, okay, if you understand how, and I'm not saying that Raymonte doesn't, but I'm like, the person who writes the article, like, Melissa, you write articles for Nylon, which is fucking dope, but you are an individual person who's a freelancer. Mm-hmm. You're gonna write about things that interest you, mm-hmm. that maybe the editor-in-chief, and if Nylon has, so you're gonna write about influencers that maybe Nylon has never invited to their Fashion Week party or their this and that, and mm-hmm. it's pretty, so like, to me, it's like this one person reached out and wrote this piece, they tweeted it, Raymonte had that response, which personally, like, I understand that feeling, but this is the thing of, like, to me, I'm like, I feel like, you know, I
understand. You went too far?
I don't think you went too far, but I'm like, I wouldn't post that. I would have texted a friend and been like, hey, what the fuck? Like, this is bullshit or they're hypocrites. But whatever, he did it. And then Essence, because I'm just like, Essence isn't one person. There's a person writing the article. Mm-hmm. There's a social media manager. And then to Raymonte's point, he's like, you guys have never invited me to Essence Fest. Mm-hmm. You know? Essence Fest, I'm sure that there are completely different departments. If they are not working remotely, you know what I mean? It's not even like they're in the same office. So the brand team that runs the festival and the person that's writing the article and the social media manager, I just don't think are the same people.
Crazy different.
Crazy different. Departments, yeah. So one person highlighting, like, hey, this guy's cool, we need to be amping him up, and him being like, well, you guys never did anything. I don't like the social media response. I agree, like, whatever. Well, but I'm just like, okay, but what does he gain? And then, yeah, it's right. You said he can say and do whatever you want, or you can be the person that works with brands, but you can't do both.
But he obviously doesn't want to work with them.
Well,
because if he wanted to work with them that bad, he wouldn't have said fuck you.
I think you can be shady, like, if you're putting someone on in an article, you can come back with a shady response. I mean, like, would have loved to go to Essence Fest or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think in the way that Gen Z does not give a fuck, like, he went all the way versus being like a little bit shady, which I think that the response would have been better to be like, you're so right, oversight on our part, we'd love to have you at the next one, blah blah blah. But I think when you go that hard, then you've made the choice. I don't want to be affiliated with brands. I don't want to be, because unfortunately you have to be like trusted to represent a brand. You have to play ball to do that. And I respect not wanting to.
And he seems to not want to play ball.
Right.
Which I low-key respect.
I respect it too.
I like that he's just kind of like, I'm going to do and say what I want, and I'm not going to let the threat of money or the threat of power and fame deter me from standing on who I am. Yeah. I like that.
Okay, well, Elise, what do you think?
You know, I do think it's a good point that, like, the person who wrote the article is probably a freelance or maybe staff writer that pitched it. And so, like, the article really could have been the beginning of this relationship. But I'm like struggling. I feel like I'm torn in two directions, because it really could have been the beginning of the relationship. And I do think that the initial response was very like, I will burn this bridge down immediately.
I didn't think it was that bad, though.
Okay, no, well, it wasn't, have more. So.
I guess he didn't say fuck you immediately.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Fuck you came later. So I think Essence's response to his response is worse than his response to the initial.
I agree, because they just could have shut up.
Okay, so let's go to this video.
So I wasn't going to talk about this anymore because it was like, y'all know I don't like to drag things out. But the videos y'all keep saying, I'm ghetto and da 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 da. And it throws me off because none of my videos am I walking up to people selling them empty their purse, give me everything you got. I don't think I'm as ghetto as everyone tries to make it seem. And what bothers me as a black person, you guys say that I'm ghetto, but Cardi B, who doesn't look like a visible black woman to me, and this is no shade to you, Cardi B. This is no shade. This is just literally a fact. And we're speaking on colorism and all those type of things. She is very, very ghetto. She's way ghetto-er than me. She's way hooded, gangster, greasy with me. She was outside with the damn Bloods. And y'all don't say that this lady is ghetto. Y'all don't say that she isn't marketable. It feels like everyone can be ghetto and black besides ghetto and black people. And again, no shade to you, Cardi B. I'm just doing a comparison. My content has always been uplifting women. I've always said so many things about women, like to encourage them and be amazing. And I might make a little joke about a relationship or a boy or something like that. And I might say, bitch, but that don't make me a fucking gangster, thug, psycho, man. I literally don't get that. I have so much positive content that I don't even say a cuss word in. That is so uplifting with so many people, so many diverse groups, ethnicities. So what do y'all want to put me in this ghetto, sad, black trope for? I am from the hood. Yes, I am. But I have layers to me. I can have a deep, articulate conversation with you. Stop criticizing me. Another thing, I have always been an advocate for higher education. I have always sent people in college money for food. I tell people to stay in school, get your degree. I talk to people with their 9-to-5 and say how people with 9-to-5s push the world. I talk about body positivity, all types of things. So what do y'all be wanting to make it seem like? All I say is shake your ass, and turn on the damn cheap teeth. Because I don't.
Audible's best of 2024 picks are here. Discover the year's top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals in all your favorite genres. From memoirs and sci-fi to mysteries and thrillers, Audible's curated list in every category is the best way to hear 2024's best in audio entertainment. Like a stunning new full cast production of George Orwell's 1984. Heartfelt memoirs like Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson's Lovely One. The year's best fiction, like The Women by Kristen Hanna, and Percival Everett's brilliantly subversive James. Audible. There's more to imagine when you listen. Go to audible.com/imagine and discover all the year's best waiting for you.
You know that feeling when your favorite brand really gets you? Deliver that feeling to your customers every time. Memorable moments like these are key to building your business and your brand. Klaviyo turns your customer data into real-time connections across AI-powered email, SMS, and more, making every moment count so you can continue to build smarter, more meaningful relationships with your customers. Build smarter digital relationships with your customers and make every moment count with Klaviyo. Learn more at klaviyo.com/BFCM.
You got mail. So the somebody retweeted that from or reposted that onto Twitter and said, this honestly has me weak with the Cardi B comparison because people have been bashing Cardi B years ago, always calling her ghetto. Just say you don't like Cardi and go stop saying her name. So what do you think about his response?
I don't think he doesn't like Cardi. I think he genuinely meant what he was saying. I just know that people are going to misconstrue it. I think he was just trying to say, like, she seems more ghetto than me, which he shouldn't have done. He shouldn't even brought anybody into this. Mm-hmm. He should have just kept it on himself because people have been talking about how she is unmarketable. I mean, when she was on Love and Hip Hop and she first started out, people were like, you are not going to make it. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be a star because you are ghetto. You're ratchet, right? And she defied those odds. So I feel like his perspective, I understand what he was trying to say, but he didn't go about it in the right way, right? But then on the other side, I don't think he hates Cardi B at all. I think he genuinely meant what he was saying.
Yeah, I did not get hate for Cardi B from it. I just am like, I don't think that's accurate because people do say that stuff about Cardi B.
Yeah, and I think in this clip specifically, just something to point out is that he did call her Mexican a few times. And he said, she's not black, she's Mexican.
Did he really say that?
He did say that, yes. So
I thought she said she,
So he said she's not black. And then in other clips, he did say she was Mexican. And she's Mexican and she's not black. Okay, so let's go to now we're at the backlash to the backlash.
This is a part of our, we always get to backlash to the backlash. Oh my God. It's always going to happen. Uh-huh. We're always getting there.
Cardi B gets annoyed that she was dragged into this beef and takes offense at two of Raymonte's accusations. One, the first accusation being that she does not get labeled as ghetto. And because, you know, she's not labeled as ghetto because she's not black, which was Raymonte's point, was that he's not considered marketable to brands because he's ghetto, but there are non-black people who are ghetto or more ghetto than him that are marketable. This is what he says.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah. I don't agree with that, and neither does Cardi B.
She says he should not have activated Cardi B. That's all I'm gonna say. It's like, well, he should not have activated that power.
Well. She goes, it's crazy because when I became famous, people said I'm ghetto, talk shit about my accent, called me dumb because of the way I speak, say I have no couth, talked about my teeth, which was true. They talked about her teeth so much. She literally fixed her teeth that she talks about in all her songs. They talked about my braids, my two buns. And to this day, no matter what I accomplish, I still get called a stripper, all because I'm from the ghetto. People misinterpret me because I'm loud and ghetto to this day. They'll call me a hood rat and all. When I sat down with Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden, they called me a ghetto stripper. Why is that? Y'all gotta use me to make y'all comparisons, because y'all only see the glory, but not when I get dragged 24/7. Leave me the fuck alone and out y'all bullshit. Then they start going back and forth.
Oh, no.
Raymonte and Cardi B are going back and forth. Raymonte replies, girl, why are you getting so mad at the comparison? I'm saying you are successful and reach heights that visibly black people, ghetto people, have a harder time reaching. That act just like you. I'm not saying you don't deserve success or how you act is bad. I'm saying that if someone was my color or darker, acts the same way, we will never receive the same awards or love. You are being very dense. Sukanya, Sexy Red, the City Girls, the list go on and on. You've had major campaigns that ghetto black women and men like me will never get. It's deeper conversation. I'm not trying to offend you at all to not think you have it easier to be seen as marketable because your skin is lighter. To not think you have it easier and to be seen as marketable because you're lighter is crazy. So that's his thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, okay. The second thing that Cardi B found offense to is her not being black, right? And she tweets this. The same reason you felt comfortable calling me a Mexican when I'm Dominican, and I asked you why you felt comfortable calling me Mexican when Ice Spice, Jarell Jerome, Zoe Saldana are Dominicans, and you don't do that to them. You do it to me because you know that's what people use to hurt me. Same way as you use my name in the video, knowing exactly what you're doing. And that is a common diss that a lot of female, you know, Nicki Minaj, a lot of people do say, Cardi B is not black. She's Spanish. She's not really one of us.
She's Dominican and Trinidadian.
Okay, So she's like, why do you? So her point was like, why do you use my name? Like, why do you call me Mexican and not other people Mexican, like Ice Spice? Then Ice Spice responded.
Oh, no.
Yes, Ice Spice, this is good.
Oh my God. Is good, right?
Everybody's
getting into it, guys.
Uh-huh.
Ice Spice responded and she said, no offense, Barty. It's because I have one Dominican parent and a black one. To which Cardi responded, I think there might be confusion onto what was said. I asked why he feels so comfortable calling me Mexican. I have no Mexican parents. My mom is from Trinidad. She came out of a whole black woman. My father is Dominican. I'm Dominican just like you. I also used other Dominicans as an example because, as you should know, a lot of times we get clustered into one because of the language being Spanish. And this is also like pretty shady, and I'll tell you why. She says, also, can you send me that pic you took of me with your camera from Vanity Fair? Thank you. Before we get into that, the side note is that the Vanity Fair request photo was funny because Ice Spice did end up posting it. But if you realize Ice Spice does not post things publicly with Cardi because of her alliance with Nicki Minaj. So Cardi B backed her to a corner to post the picture of her, and Ice Spice did, and then put a little "De lo mio," which is like a Dominican saying. Mm-hmm. So Cardi B like kind of used this to like get Ice Spice to post and like drove the barbecue. Okay,
that's so fun. This is a lot of mess.
Okay, good. Okay. So this is the conversation I would like to have. I'm glad, obviously, Melissa and Alisa are here, but I'm really glad to be here.
I know, those so white co-hosts are like, and here, and we will.
And speak. You know what I'm so good at? Being quiet.
So and you know what? That's an important thing. No. Okay, but this is the conversation I want to have. Oh, and then Cardi B posted, mind you, this is my first cover of a cover of her on Vibe magazine. She said, "T fucked up and all. As you can see, it's about being Afro-Latino and embracing my roots, yet people want to run their own narrative. Fuck out of here. I've been saying quiet a long time." So this brings me up to the conversation I want to have about the second point that Raymonte said, which saying that she's not visibly Black and she's Mexican, and all that stuff. But again, it's important. I want to have this conversation. Carolina, who's all, because, you know, I'm Afro-Latina. Carolina is also Afro-Latina. And I'm going to take this moment really quick before we open the discussion to have a PSA. I feel like Dominican culture is a whole meme right now. I feel like it's a little complicated to understand. So I'm just going to explain it. So many people from the Caribbean and from Latin America, their ancestry is a result of colonizers from Spain mixing, to put it lightly, Spain and Portugal, mixing with indigenous people and African slaves. So there's a big population of people who are Black, but also Latino, and they use the words Afro-Latino to identify, but they are just like African-American, there's Afro-Latino. I feel like as a society, we have widely accepted the ethnic diversity of whiteness, right? We know that there are white people from France, Minnesota, Germany, Poland, and all that stuff. But we are
important
just
to get Minnesota in there.
Important to get Minnesota.
That's
there are
a
white
huge
people.
Nexus
sure.
of white
yeah, yeah,
white
yeah.
people.
West, yeah.
yeah, but I think we're just having those conversations about what does it mean to be Black from different countries. There are Black people from Nigeria. There are Black people from Brazil. There are Black people from Puerto Rico. There are Black people from Guatemala, like Carolina, and all that stuff. So that is that kind of thing. And this kind of, you know, before we open the discussion to like things that Raymonte said, those kinds of things are the, you know, triggering for an Afro-Latina person to get like their Blackness dismissed, and also to be told that, you know, to be treated by a group of people as a Black person and another group of people as not. So that is something that was important to me to like discuss, because that is a part of like my identity, and I know I want to open it up and then hear like reactions from you guys.
Okay, wow.
Carolina, you have the floor.
We're going to take it there. The one thing I will say is that the difference between me and Cardi B, and I would also say you and myself, is that I am a dark-skinned Afro-Latina person.
Yeah.
So we're not going to face the same issues of people telling me, like, oh, you don't look Black.
Yeah.
Right? It's more you don't look Latina.
Yeah.
My thing is that I feel like what we can't ignore is that colorism does exist.
For sure.
Especially within the Latin American community. And I think that people on both sides of that have scars and trauma from being from the colorism. Mm-hmm. But I think what in general is difficult is when people who are a lot lighter don't acknowledge that there is a benefit from colorism. Mm-hmm. It's really annoying because it's like, while you and I are both Afro-Latina and you are lighter than me, and in the world of being Latina, you're more accepted compared to me, right? But, you know, Elise is, well, you half Cuban?
Yep, that's it.
But in your mind, you're probably like, well, Elise looks more white, right?
Mm-hmm. I would say that.
Yeah.
I'll go on the record.
Because you are, right?
Yeah. Which means like the colonizers, I was like, well, that's me.
Well, that's not all you.
No, I wasn't on
your ass. Like,
yeah. Just half Cuban. We can give it to her. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, it is a really difficult. People don't know about being Afro-Latina. They don't know about our history. And I think it's important for us to talk about it so that people aren't so confused. I don't know where Raymonte is from.
So Raymonte, to his defense, he said, I'm sorry. I live in Minnesota. There's not, which wow. I can.
Yeah. Minnesota again.
I know. I almost put Ohio, but I changed it. There's not many it's mostly Mexicans there. Mm-hmm. So there's not a Puerto Rican population or Dominican population. Mm-hmm. We don't have those there.
Well,
so
that's what I was going
to ask. And that is a good point, but that's why I wanted to take the time to be like, this is why this is offensive mm-hmm. or this is like a mm-hmm. real conversation that needs to be had.
He, to me, should have made it more about colorism instead of like being ghetto. He could use colorism and then also tag that to being ghetto. He could say, okay, we are both being perceived as being ghetto, but you are going to get more opportunities because you have lighter skin and are more accepted by a wider range of people, right? And that's facts.
I mean, yes and no, I agree, mm-hmm. but we'll get to the other points, but mm-hmm. I think the colorism example is valid. Like,
yeah. I think that's what he was trying to say.
But I think that if he used somebody like Ice Spice, who is newer, mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole other conversation. But yeah, he used Cardi B. So that was, I mean, he activated Cardi B.
Activated Cardi B, but I was like, I understand what he's trying to say. I don't think he used Ice Spice because she's new. Also, like, Ice Spice is pretty quiet. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, she's not loud. She's from the Bronx, but she's not loud. She's not mm-hmm. giving what Cardi's giving at all. So we gotta, you know, I don't think he could use Ice Spice as the example.
Yeah, so
he shouldn't have used anybody. Let's just put that there.
He shouldn't have used anybody.
And also, Cardi B's half Trinidadian, just like me. And so, let's not get it twisted. I stand for her, and I love her, and I love everything that she's done. I love the odds that she's defied, but like colorism is a thing, and it has touched her life. The thing is, I think that sometimes when people who are lighter skinned, they don't want to hear about colorism because they feel like it takes away from their accomplishments. Yeah. It takes away from their hard work. Yeah. It makes it seem like they just got this because of the way that they look. And it's not 100% what we're saying, but we are saying colorism is a thing. It affects us as a society. There is a clear and concise benefit to having lighter skin, especially in the Latin American community, but also just in America.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree, and I just feel like there's multiple facets of mm-hmm. like colorism, being a female influencer versus a male influencer, mm-hmm. being, you know, how your body is, like being very thin versus being plus size. There's all these levels that mm-hmm. and all these layers. And again, like to deny any of that would not be fair to mm-hmm. like acknowledge. But I guess for me, I just did want to have that conversation of like his whole thing of like non-black, which I could honestly see, like mm-hmm. with Bad Baby, you know, whatever the like, what's her name?
Catch Me Outside Girl.
Like that is mm-hmm. a good example of somebody who.
That's who you should have used.
Who you should have used. But that's why I'm like the Cardi B thing, he activated her, which whatever. And
which was
also,
wrong. He shouldn't have said her name.
He shouldn't have said her name. But also, yeah, I'm just like, I think it's difficult because I'm like,
but also
colorism is a fact. Sorry, colorism is a contributor, but to say like colorism is the only reason why Cardi B, and even she will say,
I'm not saying that.
And but that's what I'm saying. Like that is the counter argument. So
I honestly wish he would have just articulated himself a little bit better. I think he was upset and he may not have thought everything out. But I understand what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. I think he said a lot of rash things and kind of just like threw things away, like calling her Mexican and all these other things. But I don't think when people say that colorism is a contributing factor to people's success, that it takes away your success or that they mean that it's the only reason, but it just is one.
Yeah. And I mean, I think, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I mean, the big thing that's sticking for me is I feel like it's not good, and you know, maybe I feel like it's not good that he called her Mexican and she's not Mexican.
Yeah.
I feel like that's there's a little dig there.
I think that's a big thing.
And I'm sorry, I don't believe that he didn't know she wasn't Mexican.
I feel like.
But that's what I'm saying though. Yeah. And that's why, what were you saying?
I feel like number one, that's kind of like a top line in the U.S. thing that gets thrown at Latinos, white, Afro-Latinos, like of all spectrums, is that everyone just says you're Mexican and it mm-hmm. like that there's like a lot of weirdness there. And number two, I just feel like if you are going to bring up Cardi B and you are going to be in this fight with Cardi B, it's pretty easily accessible information to find out that she's Dominican. I think that's like very...
I think it was on purpose,
yeah,
no?
Yeah.
I think it was...
He's saying no, and he's saying that, I don't know what Mexican, I mean, I don't know, but I'm also like, you just posted 20 videos from fucking Mexico. You know that, and no, ain't nobody look like Cardi B in Mexico that you encountered.
Yeah. And it doesn't matter, that you, I mean, whatever, taking at face value, we don't have Puerto Rican people in Minnesota or whatever, like, that doesn't matter. Cardi B is not in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Like,
he's from El Bronx.
Well, yeah. It seems like he wants to fight, and it seems does. Like he wants to compare like his behavior to a person who has made millions of dollars and is an established entertainer while you are simply an influencer. And that's like, you know.
And this is perfect to our final point of this thing, which Cardi B went on. Well, Cardi B posted this, and I agree, which is like, here's my advice to you, Raymonte. It takes time. Right now, I get brand deals for $5 million for a campaign. I got social media famous in 2014, 10 years ago. My brand deal with Fashion Nova, my first brand deal with Fashion Nova was in 2016, and they paid me $200 a post. You could reach anywhere, no matter any height, no matter how ghetto or where you're from. Just remember the key is to be patient and be humble. Blessings. And then she went on Instagram Live, and we're going to watch just a small segment of this. She went on Instagram Live, and I think she brought up amazing points. And now we're like, yeah, she brought up amazing points. So we're just going to watch really quickly.
And I'm going to give y'all some tea right now. Right now, right now, I'm going to let y'all, influencers know some tea right now. Right now, that's going on. The economy is bad. The economy is bad. If y'all notice, and if y'all go to a lot of artists, fuck influencers. If you go to a lot of artists are not getting brand deals right now. Brands are broke right now. Brands are broke. So y'all are competing with artists when it comes to getting money. So you want to know something? These brands are going to lowball you. They're not even giving artists fucking deals right now. It's broke. The economy's fucked up right now. Get a printer and fucking every single time that you see your engagement and shit, make sure you print that shit out. So when a fucking brand deal gets into your email, you'll be like, ah, you trying to pay me this, this, and that? Hey, listen, this is how much people I think. I fucking drunk this soda today and fucking 2,000 people bought the soda right after. I know what I bring to the table. I bumped myself too hard. And guess what? When I became an influencer, there wasn't a lot of people that was influencing. There was no TikTok. There was no nothing. So it was harder for me to prove myself. A bitch with fucked up teeth, acne on her face. People used to say dusty braids, ratchet bitch, dirty this, dirty that, dirty this, dirty that, dirty this. To this day, why is this stripper ass bitch, ghetto ass bitch talking about it? You don't know about nothing. Motherfuckers don't even think I have a fucking education. When I first started in 2014, I got popular in 2014, right? I got popular in 2014. I got my first brand deal in 2016. My first brand deal. And it's crazy because I was an influencer, I wasn't an artist, and then I became a loving hip-hop star. I was bringing to clubs, like, I'm going to give you an example. Me and Fetty Wap was hosting clubs, and I would bring out more people. I would bring out more people than him, but because I was the influencer and I wasn't an artist, I was getting paid less than him. I was getting paid less than a lot of these artists, even though I was bringing more of the people. The truth of the matter is that when you're an influencer, people are going to play in your face. And people played in my face for a very long time. And you know what? It is what it is. It's part of the game. These are how brands are gonna play you. It's almost like you got to show brands like it's like, no, I'm the asset. I'm the one that brings to the customers. I'm the one that this. And so you don't take that stand and you let them know your worth, they're going to play in your face. They're just going to play in your face. I got played so many times from 2000.
Well, and just, you know, it goes on and goes on. But a point that I do like that she made is like Snoop Dogg was literally a gangster, all this stuff, convicted for murder, whatever. Look at him now.
With Martha Stewart.
With Martha Stewart. Yeah. But it's just like, you have to be patient and turn your brand around and be you know, not easy to work with, but all that. That was just a good point of like, and he's dark skin, you know what I mean? But there's two elements to the thing that I like that we can discuss, and then I'll pass it on. But it's, you know, that one, it takes time. Two, brands are freaking broke and the economy's
bad. Brands are broke.
And three, you're competing with artists and actors. Kim Kardashian is doing like mobile games.
Yeah, I've seen that honestly even like in the commercial acting world where it's like, especially during the strike and stuff, it's like, oh, so now this brand can either have me be the face of their brand or they can have Sydney Sweeney. Like, and it's like they're obviously gonna, and like, because those people aren't working either. So, I think we're seeing it all over the place. Like, I really resonated with that point too.
I liked what she wrote, like, what she responded to him. And because the thing I love about Cardi B is she's actually, to me, seems so introspective. Yeah. Like, she'll pop off and you can literally see her think and then let it go. Because I feel like she probably sat back and was like, why am I getting so pressed over this? Like, I'm rich. I've got what I, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, like he's going to say, people are going to say what they're going to say. And I still got to where I got to.
Yeah.
Right.
And I loved that about it. But yeah, brands are broke right now.
Brands
for
are
sure.
Super broke.
And we are competing with everyone and we can't let them turn us against each other, which is what I feel is true.
No, it's true. I'm like, we can't let these brands make us fight with each other.
Because it's kind of like, what is happening here? Yeah.
And
I mean, I was just going to say, if you're plot then is to not do brands, then like, is this actually working for him?
Probably.
Is this like controversy?
No. I said, well,
I mean, it's brought his name to a lot of other people. Like, is this just a route and is he really good at that? And maybe stick to that route, to fighting, stick to that.
And I'm also just like, I think we were talking about this with Claire, but it's like, you're like, if your whole thing is just influencing, that's a short shelf life. Like, if you're not creating, if you're not writing, if you're like, and I get it, like, you know, you're posting 19 videos on a 4-day vacation. Like, it is a job, but when you're competing against somebody who has a new song out or an actor or this, like that, like these are the things that, and you're beholden to all this stuff. So that is a whole other segment too of like, it's getting quiet for just pure influencers. Like, it's kind of not enough.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff on TikTok lately about how, like, the economy for influencers is not the same.
Yeah, and they're going back to working.
Yeah, and that's, like, kind of another reason why I feel like the Cardi B comparison, even though his point was good, I just feel like the Cardi B comparison wasn't, because at the end of the day, Cardi B is also an incredibly talented artist.
Yes.
Like, that's part of why she's as famous as she is. She's she's not getting brand deals because she's a great influencer. She's getting brand deals because she's one of the biggest stars in music right now.
Yeah.
So it's just the comparison doesn't really work, I feel. And again, we keep talking about, like, activating Cardi B, which does make her sound like Beetlejuice. But, she's really fucking smart.
But
and I feel like people don't.
I'm like, does he feel successful right now? Probably yes. To activate Cardi B.
Yeah.
To get in, like, even a little bit of Nicki Minaj drama. Like, he's probably like, okay, thank
you.
Like, it's kind of exciting.
Yeah, and he continued and kept going and all this stuff.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
So at this point, the more he goes back and forth, the more I'm like, okay, sis, we see you. You wanted this.
Yeah, you wanted this, exactly.
And then you're going to isolate some people who find that really annoying, and some people
are
going to follow you.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, we were on your side with the Essence thing.
And I also think that, like...
But you went too far.
Kind of going back to... I didn't say this, but it made me think about it. Like, when you were talking about how, like, with identity, what he said about her identity, and I just feel like he knew that that would hurt her, because that is something that is very real. I think for me it was the opposite of people just being like, you're not Latina.
Well, I get that too, and I'm sure she gets that too,
that
as
she's
well.
Not Latina.
Yes.
Mm.
Absolutely. I get that from Dominicans.
I mean, we were in Guatemala where her mom is from, and I witnessed a lot of
fucking just straight up
bullshit.
Racism. I'm sure
because Guatemala has very, like, segmented and
segregated. It's very
segregated.
So my mom's not Garifuna, but
Scrivener is like the black population in Central America. I studied them in college. Work.
Yeah, my mom's not Garifuna. She does have black in her. She's like Mexican, Indian, and has black in her, but it's from like some Jamaican people that moved to Guatemala randomly. So she's not Garifuna, but people are so mean to Garifuna people. And it's kind of why they only stay in Livingston. Like, they don't really live in the rest of the country for the most part. You don't see black
people. Which is all the way by Belize. Like, it's not...
You don't really see black people walking around, you know, El Capital. So for me, people were just out of pocket with me.
Yeah.
And it is like a thing that happens with skin color and being Afro-Latina and your identity. Also, growing up here, people were like, oh, you're faking it. You're trying to be Spanish and you're not.
Well, and you know, you hear, you just hear it is such a complicated, nuanced topic that can be like whatever. But it's like,
but it is hurtful,
you hear it
is what
within your community and then you hear it from other, you know, so then, you know, you assimilate to black culture and then you hear other people trying to give jabs and like, well, you're not even really black, you know.
I will say growing up in New York is a little bit, I would imagine it's a little bit easier and a little bit better.
Oh, for sure. Than growing up somewhere.
To be Afro-Latina here than somewhere else.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, agree.
You know, people do think I'm Dominican, Panamanian.
Well, yeah, and Cuban in Miami. Sometimes. In Miami, too. But when I went to college in California, that was a wrap for my Latin identity. But which is, again, why this was such a layered thing. But I think at the end of the day, he wanted to activate Cardi B. He wanted the whatever. And he did say that thing about, you know, to trigger.
Our next topic. Carolina, you said something while we were having our last discussion that I just want us all to hold this question in our minds. You said, I'm rich. Why am I doing this? And I think that's a very important question for us to all hold in our minds as we talk about our next topic, which is our grass hole of the week.
And what's grass hole of the week?
Our grass hole of the week is our final segment where we declare the person online who needs to log off the most. It's someone who they must go outside. They must touch grass. And sometimes it's loving. I'm going to say this one, it's definitely not. And this one, this week's grass hole is someone who was always going to be a grass hole eventually.
I'm surprised it took us this long. Episode, like, we've been doing this for a while, and I'm surprised that it's taken this long.
I'm surprised it took us this long. This is a person who I would actually say is not just a grass hole of the week, but is a perpetual grass hole. They're someone who needs to have their phone taken from them, and then they need to enter a deep period of reflection. Maybe like a nun or a monk. This week's grass hole is J.K. Rowling. So,
what does she do now?
Listen,
what does she do now?
Melissa's
face. Well, first of all, like I always just, I really felt like I learned a lot about her when we went to Scotland and saw that everything is just named all the stuff in Harry Potter. So I was like, this bitch maybe came up with a story about a wizard, but she's like, oh, Hogwarts Street, perfect,
Diagon that alley. Works.
This alley, it was literally all of that. I was like, it's actually the least creative story that you can think of.
Yeah,
simply because it's
Edinburgh.
All Edinburgh. It's just literally that.
Oh, yeah, it's so funny because like as a Harry Potter kid, there is so much stuff that I assumed was unique to Harry Potter that I found out is just, like, how it's done in Britain.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's actually just...
Prefects. It's like, no, they just have those at school the UK. And, like, Hogsmeade is a place in Scotland.
Yeah, we saw Hogsmeade Place or whatever.
That blew my fucking mind because I was like, no, because Hogsmeade, it's like the village under Hogwarts.
No, Edinburgh is built cities on top of each other. Like, it's literally just
that. Wow, so when you go to Harry Potter Land and, like, Islands of Adventure or something in Orlando, it's just
Edinburgh.
It's just kind of Edinburgh, yeah.
It is.
There's a bunch of comedians getting wasted, doing comedy every night. No, I'm just kidding.
But, yeah, so that is correct. So... Why is this week J.K. Rowling's week? Because, you know, it could have been any time. Any time for the past, like, 6 or 7 years, really. So, J.K. Rowling, you guys know this is hard for me to talk about. Harry Potter's very important to me.
No, I love Harry Potter, too.
And she...
She just is ruining it.
She's really...
Dragging it.
Really dragged, like, kind of... The one
like,
fun thing I have from my childhood.
Yeah,
I'm like, I would have loved to live in a world where I could just have an uncomplicated relationship with the wizard book from when I was a kid. And like, that's not the world that we live in anymore.
Watch Elisa's Hour.
Yeah, watch my hour where I unpack this all. But anyway, so J.K. Rowling has been on a tear on Twitter lately. She has tweeted, I counted this today, since the start of April. It is April 8th. We are recording on April 8th, the day of the eclipse. She has tweeted or retweeted about trans people 47 times in the month of April. Again, I am rich.
Oh, my God.
Why am I doing this?
And you're like, she you're lives not in a trans. Castle. You don't know anybody
but
who's
my
trans.
Thing with her like, is like, who hurt you? Yeah. Who, what? Why are you so mad about this?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I do want to acknowledge before we get into it that J.K. Rowling, she does suffer from a very serious illness that's called rich person brain.
Yeah.
And we've lost many good rich people to this illness. And there's no cure, unfortunately.
Mm. What is rich person brain?
What is it?
Rich person brain is where one person tells you that you're wrong on trans issues. And then your eyes roll back in your head and you immediately become a demon who's only obsessed with. That.
Oh, Dave Chappelle.
Dave Chappelle, unfortunately.
Also has rich person brain.
Suffers heavily from rich person brain. I think Elon Musk also has rich person brain.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very serious illness.
Yeah.
That can come upon you. But the reason J.K. Rowling has been activated in the month of April is because of a Scottish hate crime law that went into effect on April 1st. The law criminalizes stirring up hatred related to age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, trans identity, or being intersex. And stirring up hatred is defined as communicating or behaving in a way that a reasonable person would consider threatening or abusive against one of these groups. So because that's what J.K. Rowling does all day, every single day, she's upset by the law.
She's like, I have to stir up.
Yeah, that's my thing. But that's my whole thing now. I used to do wizards. Now I do this. So she's been going fucking nuts about this. And on April 1st, she tweeted this long thread where she like names a bunch of different trans women, including like Monroe Bergdorf. She's just like listing a bunch of trans women. Some of them, there are some that have committed crimes. Some haven't. It's hard to even go through because it's like long blocks of text. And then she ends the thread with, April Fools, only kidding. Obviously, the people mentioned in the above tweets aren't women at all. They're men. Every last one of them. Okay. So,
Oh my God.
She's sick. She's very sick.
This is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Then she follows that up with, I'm currently out of the country, but if what I've written here qualifies as an offense under the terms of the new act, I look forward to being arrested when I return to the birthplace of the Scottish Enlightenment. So she's now like, arrest me! And I'm like, please arrest her. Like, God, so please.
Will they?
No, they're not going to. I think already, like, I feel the like Scottish authorities should. Have been like, no, we're not going
I
to.
I mean, I feel like they made this for, like, bullies in high school or something, like, not for
or, like,
J.K.
actual
Rowling.
Hate crime.
Yeah, I mean, this is a hate
but that's,
crime, but it's like,
that is, like, her actions doing that will lead to hate crimes. She is mobilizing and emboldening people who feel that way about it, which will, like, lead to physical hate crimes, for sure.
Has she ever said why she hates trans people so much?
She couches it, and this is, like, kind of a weird thing of, like, British turfdom. So I feel like the anti-trans movement in the U.S. is really rooted in, like, protecting the family and children, whereas in the U.K., it's about, like, this TERF, like, feminism thing where they're like, it's about protecting women. So she always says
TERF,
that it's
TERF,
about...
if you're on offline, like, you don't know, and you are a normal person, TERF is trans exclusionary radical feminism. And it's feminism that specifically believes that trans women aren't women, and it's fucking crazy, and they're all on, like, X and stuff like that. And
yeah, looking through all of her, like, cursed tweets, it's all about how she, like, thinks that trans women in female spaces are gonna, like, attack women,
oh,
that they're
God.
Gonna abuse
that
women.
Men are gonna put on wigs and, like, try to get in the bathroom or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a different version of anti-trans shit than what we have, which is, like, ours is very much, like, they're gonna hurt kids. Mm-hmm. Ours
gonna
is,
make
like, they're
kids
gonna... Yeah, they're,
right.
yeah, they're gonna make kids be trans. So... the other thing in particular that makes her the grass hole this week is that as all of this has been going on, she has also been beefing back and forth for 2 weeks. This over 2 weeks now. This started on March 17th with literally a random man named Rajan Barot. Shout out to Rajan. He's a British lawyer. He started this situation with 507 followers. J.K. Rowling has 14.1 million.
Yeah.
Now he has 2,000. So okay, he is,
good for him. Good
he's
for him.
Growing.
He's getting it.
Based on going back and forth with
the Ramonte. The Ramonte.
Yeah, get your brand deals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he also, Rajan, he's a cishet man who just considers himself a trans ally, and he's like, fuck all this hate. So she, starting on the 17th of March, these two have been fighting every single day. I looked back, the last tweet between the two of them was yesterday. It's every day she is fighting with Rajan.
Well, good for Rajan.
I know, yeah. Exactly. So it's all just like, here's one tweet from...
Rajan looks like a sweet, like, South Asian man who's, like, yeah, in his 50s. Like...
I know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, okay, I was going to ask you if he was cute.
He's, like, an older man. Yeah, I would say he's,
that doesn't answer my question,
at least. 60s.
Yeah.
Is he cute?
Not cute.
Rajan's not my type.
He's not my twist.
But I do.
He's someone's.
You know, I
we're just
I
trying to set him
heart
up.
His is cute.
Yeah.
I think his heart is cute.
Great.
So he tweeted, like, he basically would respond to some of her hate tweets, and then she's responding to him. At one point, he says, "I'm a cis male and an ally of the LGBTQ+ community. All my life, I've fought for diversity and equality. I advised 2 attorney generals on race and equality issues and prosecuted on behalf of victims. I know who I am, and I'm proud of what I stand for." J.K. Rowling responds, a fake quote. She's like, "I'm a man who wants to see girls and women stripped of their rights and protections for the benefit of fellow men. I know this makes me a really good guy, and other guys I know agree with me. I'm proud of being such a great guy." That's like her tone.
What about trans men?
So J.K. Rowling does not seem to care as much about trans men as she does about trans women. She's
okay.
kind of more obsessed with trans women, though certainly I wouldn't put her in a room with a trans man either.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I wouldn't subject a trans man to that kind of behavior.
Yeah.
But yeah, the latest tweet was yesterday.
Okay.
Rajan said, "Shock, horror, I do not agree with your narrow view of what a woman is. Do you know why? Well, because trans women exist and trans women are women. Biology does not end with a study of generalized chromosomes. Why? Because trans women exist. That's why." And then she did another one of her fake quotes. "Shock, horror, I do not agree with your narrow view of the Big Bang. Do you know why? Well, because God exists and God created the universe. Astrophysics does not end with a generalized study of neutrinos. Why? Because God exists. That's why." So she always has this like shitty fucking tone that she uses where she's like, holier. She's like, yeah, "I'm smart." And then she says the dumbest thing you've ever heard.
You're right. This is rich people syndrome.
Yeah.
This is 100%
it's
rich
a sickness.
People syndrome. Because they feel so untouchable. Like, mm-hmm. I think that it's like, I have amassed all this money. I beat the system. I schemed up this thing. And I have all this money. And so, therefore, I am right and I am smart. And no one can tell me I'm wrong. Elon Musk has it. Dave Chappelle has it. And so does this bitch.
Well, I feel like it's that rich person. But it's also like... I'm going to also say not necessarily rich people. It's also people who, in their heyday, they were the cutting edge and they mm-hmm. were like
yes.
the cool progressive people. And as time passed and time progressed, they are no longer like Dave Chappelle was someone who was saying mm-hmm. really insightful things on race. And J.K. Rowling was a single mom and she was saying interesting things
about
and
feminism.
Like, yeah. about yeah. feminism.
And she used to be like... You know, you have to like put your Obama era goggles on for this one. But yeah. like during like the 2016 election, she would be like, "Trump is Voldemort," and everyone would be like, "Yeah, yes,
yeah.
she said yeah. that. She said yeah. Trump is Voldemort."
Yeah, like, which was like to some people so radical.
Yeah,
right.
But as time continued to progress, because she's so rich and she has the rich person brain, and Dave Chappelle too, they don't feel compelled. To have to evolve with society.
100%. I was just going to say that as far as, like, bra-burning feminists or, like that era, mm-hmm. like, they, many of them have chosen not to evolve past that. But the even harder part about that is then she's evoking that which she has stood by her entire life, then, like, Bible, then God, whatever mm-hmm. else. Like, if you feel that you can evoke all this stuff and you don't have people around you who are not yes men and people want, like, just wanting to support you and not calling mm-hmm. you out on stuff, then you're going to be completely, like you said, untouchable to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
she
it's
lives in
so
a castle.
Stupid.
No, no, yeah.
She could not see people ever.
Mm-hmm. No, she's so divorced from the real world. It's very bizarre. And she's very, like, she has this very serious victimhood narrative about herself where, like, so one of the things she and Rajan were fighting about is because she will very selectively retweet, like, the worst stuff that's being said to her and then be like, see, look, this person is like wishing I was dead. Like, these are what trans activists are saying to me. Like, they are. At one point, she was like, trans activists doxed me. And it's like, you live in a famous castle that is on walking tours of Edinburgh. You can't be doxxed. That's literally like Joe Biden being like, I've been doxxed. Like, people know where I live. Well, yeah.
But they could point back like trans violence that's happened because of her words online.
I know. Well, and it's also this crazy thing where she's so obsessed with this like negligible percentage of trans people who have committed crimes against cis women. Whereas, like, trans women are the targets of the most, they're the most targeted group of people for violence that exists.
Yeah.
Like,
I just hate when people, like, generalize a group by saying, like, okay, this person did a bad thing and they happen to be trans, so therefore it's all of them. Yeah. It's like, people do that to you about everything. Oh, black, Latin, blah, 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 gay, whatever. Yeah. It's like, okay, this person is wrong, so now everybody gets grouped in.
Well,
and
that's what
in.
Privilege is, because that, even though, like, a lot of serial killers or radicalized political violence or all
mass
white
shooters.
Ring or white men's or, you know.
Virgos.
Virgos
get a bad rap for that. We have a lot of serial killers. Yeah.
Very meticulous. Yeah. Very meticulous.
We have a lot of attention to detail. We function well logistically. Yeah.
But it's like the privilege of like white men and all that. Like they don't get lumped into those things because everyone sees them as individual and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when you are a marginalized group, like everything is, you know, that is a real thing, but
we're all one. It's not fair.
Well,
yes,
discrimination is not fair, Caroline.
So unfair.
Wow.
Put that in quotes.
Holds with put it in
there. So with that, I wanted to not only declare J.K. Rowling our grasshole of the week, but also declare Rajan, a.k.a. Rajan Barot 24, our first ever grass hero of the week.
Yes. Wow.
Rajan never stopped posting.
Yes.
Never lost.
Yeah. I love grass hero. We gotta do that.
Sometimes there's a grass hero. Sometimes someone's out here putting on the work on Twitter. Yeah. And this guy is fighting every day with someone who has 14 million followers. His replies are horrifying because she has... Stan. Yeah. She has a Stan army of people who will come for her because I've tweeted negative things about her before and then gotten it from people who are like, and who do you think you are? She created Harry Potter. And I'm like, I know. That's why it hurts me. Like, that's why I care so deeply.
I'm so glad you did not get that snitch tattoo on your ankle.
There was a time. Wow. There was a time when I said, I'm going to get a golden snitch on my ankle. And then I didn't because I didn't have any money. And thank God.
Poverty is protection.
That happened to me too. What about a little Wayne lyric?
Oh, wow.
So that was also
amazing.
I almost
got a Kanye West tattoo, but I was too broke. Wow.
What the thing? People forget the stuff that poverty will protect you from.
Yeah.
Rich person brain, it protects you from that.
Yeah. Poverty protection.
That is not going to age well. Yeah. It will protect you.
Because let me tell
that.
You're poor, you get told no a lot. You get told, you get humbled quickly all the time.
People have no problem telling you that you're off base when you don't have money. So, yeah. J.K. Rowling, please log off.
Babe, you gotta go.
And Rajan, stay on.
Keep posting.
Friend of the pod, Rajan.
Wow, guys, that was our episode. Please tell our lovely fans where they can find you, follow you, all your handles.
Yes. I mean, at Hoes With Feelings.
Yes.
I think underscore after it on Instagram. If you're in Miami, we're going to do our show in Miami on April 24th.
Mm-hmm.
So exciting. At Arlo in Wynwood. Yeah. So we're super excited about that. And then we have shows at Arlo Soho on April 12th, May 3rd. May 17th.
Mm-hmm. And we also have a TikTok, which is Hoes With Feelings with an underscore before or after. I am unsure.
Yeah.
We'll find it.
You'll just type in Hoes With Feelings. And then us, I'm at Carobina on TikTok and Instagram.
And I'm at Rich Melissa on both.
Yeah. But she does not have rich person disease.
She it's really very
I'm trying to get it. I'm like, infect no, me, please.
You can be rich and not and have not rich
There's plenty
syndrome.
Of rich people who don't have it.
Of course. Yeah. No. And yeah. I plan to be one of them.
Yeah. I would like wealth. Yeah. As soon as possible.
I mean, who would not?
Yeah.
Guys, you can follow our podcast at Go Touch Grass Pod on everything. You can follow me at Pandalise on Instagram and at Elise Navidad on TikTok.
You can follow me at Millie_Tamaris on TikTok and Instagram. And you can follow me at Millie Tamaris on Twitter. I'm still there. That's how we found out about the Raymonte stuff. There's good stuff happening and I'm there.
You're there with Rajan.
I'm there with Rajan. Yeah. I'm there posting. I'm being the grass hero everywhere. And we also have a Twitter. And guess what, guys? Follow us on Facebook. We're going to try to do some stuff on Facebook. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I'll tell my grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to be discoursing with the boomers.
Boomers need to know what Raymonte said.
Yes.
Yeah.
Till then, go touch grass.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.